You're listening to the SansPants Network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture news on the research so you don't have to. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Adam.
Whoa, that's so exciting.
I'm your resident Garfield reporter.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Barry, the leader.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Well, I guess, what do you think is going to happen in the Garfield movie? Took the jam out of my donut.
Yeah. We get you on because you are certified by the law, Garfield maniac. Okay?
Yeah, I do have the accreditation.
There's a brand new Garfield movie coming out extremely soon.
Uh-huh.
We are on the cutting edge of Garfield news.
Yeah.
There's always
cutting
been the baseless speculation
edge?
Promise.
Yeah. Cutting edge.
I don't know the difference, but presumably there is one. Chris Pratt is shut up.
Chris Pratt
is voicing Garfield.
Who's Chris Pratt? Is he related to Chris Pratt?
That wouldn't make sense. Anyway, so Chris
they got
Pratt,
similar surnames. It could make sense.
I was laughing too hard. I couldn't even make fun. Thank you for getting there.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You for getting there quick.
Chris Pratt is voicing Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
This news came out way back very soon after the Mario voice acting announcement. We were like, is Chris Pratt voicing every fucking guy?
The answer is yes.
There was another
a theory?
No, I don't know if it was a theory, but there was another cartoon character that I think they were like, Chris Pratt is also voicing, but I can't remember who.
Because I remember the theory being like, is he anti-vax? And the reason he's doing all this is because there are certain rules and regulation, and if he by himself in the voiceover booth, it doesn't matter.
Can't be on set, but can be in voiceover booth.
Yeah. That was a rumor at one point.
That's very funny. Well, also I wondered if it was part of, because prior to that, you remember everybody was like, fuck Chris Pratt. And Chris Pratt was like, I'm so sad about this. And everyone was like, yeah, but you're a weird guy. And we don't like you. I wonder if it was like an attempt to revitalize his image. He's like, I'm going to be all these famous cartoon characters and I'll be loved again.
The rise and fall of Chris Pratt felt like it took place over the course of a year.
Yeah, it truly did.
It's because he got a divorce, then married a Kennedy, and got real Christian.
Yes. He got really Christian.
I think he
Christian.
Was always real Christian, though. Wasn't that always the case?
Got openly real Christian?
Yeah.
And then also maybe more Republicans?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Chris Pratt doesn't feel like the sort to have open political... I'm happy to be proved wrong.
I'm not sure.
I've not looked into it. The vibe is Chris Pratt being like, I don't want to rock the boat. In any way.
Yeah, well, it's weird because he started out from Parks and Rec playing Andy?
Yeah,
who everybody loved.
Andy Dufresne.
I don't know why Chris Pratt decided to crawl through that long pipe, but he got out of jail.
God, Jack, what a great summarization of that
quote. I'm out of the pipe!
That's more like from,
Go on.
What is that?
Please tell me.
We're out of the pipe!
Nicolas Cage's friends are out of the pipe.
Nicolas Cage's friends are out of the pipe.
Nicolas Cage.
The Rock.
It's not The Rock.
Shut up!
Is it Face?
Raising Arizona.
That's
more
that
Raising
one.
Arizona than The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
They get out of a pipe in Raising Arizona.
And they go, we're out of the pipe!
Okay.
They're also escaping a jail.
It's also not the line in... Shawshank Redemption. There is no line of I'm out of the pipe.
Yeah, I think he's just like...
There is no out of the pipe line.
He's thinking it. He's just looking up at the rain and being like... Mm.
When he's looking up at the rain, he's thinking, I'm
But he's not, he's not screaming anything in that moment.
I think it's really funny that my assumption is that the thing he's happy to be out of is the pipe and not jail.
Well, to be fair...
I'm out of that damn pipe.
To be fair, if I was... Sorry, really quickly. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, of course.
All right. If I were crawling through that much gosh darn sewage, I'd be really... that was a funny joke.
Thank you.
Please laugh. Thanks for pointing it out.
I would be thinking at the end of it about the pipe that I just crawl out of, not of prison.
Because once you're in the pipe, you're out of jail.
Yeah, especially because I...
behind me.
He's not incorrect. I'm in the pipe. Point.
I'm like, baby, I'm 90% of the way there.
But I think it would be such an immediate relief because the pipe would be such an immediate contrast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But because you're so dirty and then you come out into the rain.
So you would be thinking, thank God I'm out of the pipe.
I would be thinking,
imagine though that it wasn't a lovely, wet, rainy day, but it was like,
summer.
Stinky
summer. Surely you're planning for the rainy day.
Oh, well,
right?
Well, isn't there a line where he's like, I don't know why he decided to crawl through 15
miles? It's not that, no. I don't know why he did that.
I don't know why he decided to crawl through 50 miles of raw sewage.
I don't know why Andy Dufresne decided to dig his way through the wall and crawl through that pipe and then escape to South America, but
prison,
he did it.
I don't know why. Prison was there.
I love it.
It wasn't great.
I'm such a big fan of prison. You know what they say. Trapped in here, trapped is fun. That's the line they say.
I like walls.
I learned something about Morgan Freeman's character in that. So in the novel, novel, the character is Irish.
Yeah.
And they have a line where, why do they call you Red? Mm. And the character says, oh, probably because I'm Irish.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously in the novel, that is not a joke. It just makes sense. But they kept the line in the movie because then it becomes a joke.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, fun fact.
It's a great movie.
Back to Chris Pratt and everyone's beloved
If we must.
Man.
Yes, he plays Andy.
Interesting charting, because when he was Andy, everybody loved him. Everybody was like, oh, the ultimate golden retriever boyfriend. And then he got the job as Star-Lord, and everyone was like, oh my God, what fun.
He got super hot.
And he's so attractive. Buff. He's one of the hottest guys in the MCU. And
so
then,
funny he got so buff for one scene as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then he kind of just, I don't know. I don't know what happened. We soured on him.
I think it's one of those classic, like, the more you learn, the less you like. You know?
Mm.
There wasn't much under the surface. Once again, I think this is because he had such a vibe of a bland human being.
Yeah.
So there's the only thing that you could learn is possibly negative because
it is that weird thing where when he's Andy, everybody's like, he's such a goofball.
Yeah.
And he's stupid and charismatic, but kind of charming in his sort of like stupidity. And then when you're like, I don't know, it feels like every other role I've ever seen Chris Pratt in, I'm like, you do give me, hey, this is relevant, John Arbuckle vibes, you know? You're a real piece of cardboard as a guy.
Milk toast. He should have played John Arbuckle.
He should have played
honest.
John Arbuckle.
I don't know. I don't think he could come away with the sadness that John Arbuckle secretly harbors.
No, because like imagine you look at him like, you know, his Chris Pratt's face.
Yeah.
The voice he could do where he's like over like, I'm very excited. Mm. But you know, you have that little tinge of sadness there.
John Arbuckle is not a very excited man.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh my God, look, a cat. I'm like, oh, hi, it's so nice to I have a friend. But like, he's outwardly maybe smiling or trying
inside. There's a darkness.
But we're all, you know,
inside,
he's
there's a real darkness.
I don't know.
Super sad.
I can't hear it.
Streak of evil.
I can't hear it, but.
I'm not saying it's there currently.
Sure. You think Chris Pratt could have done it?
I think
Chris Pratt gives me the Rock vibes. Where I'm like, this is all very squeaky clean. I don't know.
I feel like The Rock has charisma.
No, I disagree much.
Not anymore.
I think The Rock to me feels like he was made by a bunch of executives. Like they were like, we need a safe action movie star who's not going to take any. You know what you want? You're like, you watch a movie and you're like, wow, they made some choices. Mm. The Rock don't make choices.
Okay.
He just does the movie and he gets out of there.
Yeah, I think
Chris Pratt's the same for me.
I think a friend of the show, Handsome Tom, I can mention.
You can mention Handsome Tom.
I know I'm not
this
usually
is the one podcast you can mention Handsome Tom on.
I know I'm not usually allowed to talk about Handsome Tom, but he and I think we've come down on the same side that The Rock has a lot of charisma. For us.
Really?
Yeah, he does stuff for us.
Yeah.
What The Rock does, what's his name? The bland man. Chris Pratt. Don't.
Wow. That's crazy that you lost. Yeah.
Lost Chris Pratt. Like, it's been like a minute.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I forgot who he was.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, he's a bit just like, I don't know, like a brickhead. Like yeah. If a brick came to life.
Who's this, Rock or Pratt?
Pratt.
Yeah.
Pratt.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
Do we think, so, well, let's get the basic, what we think the plot of the Garfield movie will be out of the way. Garfield, we see him as a baby. He is abandoned by his dad, voiced by Samuel L. Jackson. Then he goes up to an Olive Garden. Olive Garden definitely has advertising all over this movie. I hadn't noticed
that, but that is very funny.
In the scene in one of the trailers where the fridge is open, there's a bag of Olive Garden in there. So he walks up to an Olive Garden where John Arbuckle is having a sad pizza. Then he adopts Garfield. Garfield grows up. Garfield's dad comes back. They go on a whirlwind adventure. And presumably John Arbuckle's trying to get
Garfield's dad owes the cat mafia money or something?
Yeah.
Garfield gets kidnapped. His dad saves him. That's what we're portrayed in the trailer. And then they railroad hobos. They ride in the rails and they have to have some kind of adventure.
Why do we think, so Garfield's dad, I forget his name. It's like Garfold or something.
I don't think that's true.
It's Vic.
I wish. That would be even crazier because John named him. Yeah. How did he know?
Vic, his dad Vic, has come for Garfield for a specific reason, and this is just a guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wildly off here, but I feel like the classic trope is Vic has come back into Garfield's life pretending to be like, oh, I want to be the dad I was never, or something like that. But actually, he like needs Garfield's liver or something. It'll be something. Oh. It'll be something parasitic.
Yeah.
In some form, it'll be like, oh, he needs him.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a Garfield Arvel moment where he's like, you're a piece of guff. I don't like you. Why? Well, you said you loved me.
Do you think Garfield's really gonna talk like a 1930s newsboy in this movie?
I'm just loving,
Mister, you're a piece of guff.
I'm just loving old fashioned swears right now. Clearly. And swear kick.
That's great.
I wish I knew more old fashioned.
That's what's going on in my life. If you were curious. You didn't ask.
Look at that. Vintage cusses.
Vintage cusses.
Work them into your everyday vocabulary.
Oh, God.
Old cuss of the day.
Yeah. Guff. Oh, I'll use that at work today.
I love my old cuss of the day calendar.
See, I think Garfold or Vic.
Garfriend.
Garf dad. He owes money or whatever to the mafia. I think that's all just a ruse to get Garfield. So I think that Gar dad is going to be like, they kind of work for him. He's actually the head honcho.
You reckon he's secretly in charge.
Yeah, and then it's just going to be like, it was all a ruse to get Gar's son on Gar dad's side. And because they need him one last score, a certain big score, because they're all gross alley cats and they need like a pampered house cat to go in and, you know, be all cute and whatever. And while they do that, they steal, I don't know, what do cats want? Diamonds?
Yeah, it is diamonds. I was thinking that they might do a thing where Ratatouille style.
Yeah.
It's like the John Arbuckle's house with all of its food and its Italian pleasures.
That's whenever I'm showing someone around my house, I always make sure that they're aware that they can indulge of my Italian pleasures whenever they want.
Oh, here you go. Here's the tomatoes growing in the backyard.
And if you
here's some grapes that I have. Look at this. This is a beautiful plinth.
And if you want, you may indulge of my Italian pleasures.
Yeah, I'd love to see your miniature version of the Statue of David. I would appreciate that.
By which I mean pizzas and such. But that it'll be like
Italian pleasures.
You know, like we'll have a bit of a fight. It's what I also call Greco-Roman wrestling. A bit of Italian pleasure for me and you.
Such as spaghetti. But anyway,
spaghetti, lasagna,
the greatest of all Italian pleasures.
Don't you know it?
I
love Garfield Italian pleasures.
He is, I guess, a weeb for Italy.
He does.
He loves Italian food.
Yeah. What's
I lost
the name
my glasses.
I'll be blind. It's fine.
What's the name of the? I forget what I was gonna say. Italian pleasures.
They are so precariously under your wheel of your chair.
No. Give me 5 seconds.
Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, all right, my God. While Jackson's doing that, let me list the Italian pleasures.
Well, I haven't saved the day.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Sylvester Stallone. by that token, subcategory of the Rocky movies.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah,
are,
yeah,
of course,
yeah,
yeah, subcategories of the Sylvester Stallone Italian pleasure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I mean is...
Bocce.
Bocce. Good
which
game.
Which one?
Ooh.
It's just different. It's not important. Go on.
I think that it'll be the kind of thing where Vic comes in and he's like, you live like a king in here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta get some of this. And so I think the thing that he maybe...
Why, for both of you actually, why the train trip? Because that features very heavily in the trailer.
Yes, it does too.
So this is why I'm like... It's a kid's film.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The message needs to be real simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either the train journey is where they have to go for stealing a diamond or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like their bonding like time and that's kind of stuff like that. It is again like, oh yeah, we're going to be on this train and the mafia that we're on, I'm secretly in charge of, you need to get us and like, you know, make it a bit thrilling and a bit scary and don't worry, I'm going to protect my son.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of like, it's just like they have to go to from A to B and that's like, gives them enough time to bond, come up with a plan, come up with all that kind of stuff. I think that might be why it's...
I could even see them doing a thing where it's literally just like, Vic comes into Garfield's life, and he's like, you live a pampered house cat life. Oh, yeah. Come with me on the road, and I'll show you how a real cat lives.
Right.
They go on the road, and they just bum around for a bit, and Garfield's lesson at the end of the movie is like, even though he's your dad, he's not your family. You gotta stay with John Arbuckle. That's not the life for you, Garfield. You're a motherfucker who likes lasagna.
Do you reckon Garfield dad, Daddy Garfield, is gonna learn a lesson and then become good Garfield dad?
I think that we're gonna end with he's not gonna stick around.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be like a kind of weird, because I don't think that, because it's a kid's movie, I also don't think they can end with like a, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. But I think he's got to learn the lesson.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to learn the lesson enough to stick around.
Well,
but he might do a thing where he's like, hey, Garfield, I got to go become a better guy before I can be your dad. Yeah. And I can see the family you've got here is great. Odie's fucking awesome. John's sick.
Not at all sad.
He's all right, loving peace life.
Is that vet Liz or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Liz. You nailed it. You are the Garfield. You're Johnny Garfield.
I'm Johnny Garfield. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to like figure out if it's sort of like this, the whole lesson, because again, you know, it's like, all right, dad abandoned Garfield, and Garfield found a, you know, found family, and this is where it is, and then Vic has come back, and now everything is all topsy turvy, and it's kind of like, oh, Garfield is now like, oh, what are my roots? Although he's also like, you abandoned me.
Yeah,
but then
he's
maybe forced into a situation where it's like having to bond with his
father. Well, because we saw at the beginning, his father's like, wait here. And then he leaves, and then Garfield goes to the Olive Garden. So I'm guessing Garfield's going to be like, I abandoned my dad. And then he's going to find out, actually, his dad abandoned him or whatever.
And so it's going to be like, well, you know, you found a found family and you're having a good time. And then, dad comes onto the scene. Hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, then the moral lesson sort of the end of the film has to be like, you know, he goes back to his found family. And I guess it's going to be like, you know, this is the family I've chosen. This is the family for me.
Yeah.
But like, does he come with? Does daddy go
I don't think, I think he'll do a thing where he's like.
I agree with Jack. Yeah. I don't think dad's coming back into the picture. I reckon the closest we'd get is Vic is like, Daddy Garfield.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like, son, I gotta learn some stuff about being a good dad.
Yeah.
I'll see you around, but I think you already have something like, you've already got a family, you've already got a dad.
I might be your dad, but John raised you.
I could see him also doing a thing where like John, because obviously Garfield's going shenanigan mode. John's going to be like, where's my fucking cat? And get really sad.
And dog.
Classic John Arbuckle line.
Where's my cat? He sounds like a fucking Danny, Danny from... Grease. Sandy.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Yeah. Where's my cat?
Sandy.
Baby.
This cat would be even better if it flew.
Oh, man, if this car was flying.
But oh, those summer nights.
Why does
you sound perpetually worried. Oh, Sandy!
Oh, boy. Oh, Sandy!
Oh, boy, Sandy!
At what point in the song?
Tell me more! Tell me more! Sounds a bit like Don Knotts.
Yeah, it does. Sandy! At what point in the song? What's the song about the car? Grease Lightning. What point in the song, Grease Lightning? In the beginning, they say it could be hydromatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that mean powered by water?
I don't know what hydromatic
means. Why are they saying that? What do they mean it could be hydromatic?
I'm going to Google it. I'm checking.
Why would that make the car faster?
I don't... I'm not a mechanic or an engineer.
My favorite part of that song is when they're singing about the car and they say, the chicks will cream.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. The chicks will cream because our car's so fucking fast.
That's a type of transmission.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it's a 19...
Not interesting. Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't have even said that.
No, it was the right thing to do. Yeah.
The 1950s, not much to this.
Not much is going on. Yeah. You're creaming cars.
Milkshakes, cars, and...
Well, the car isn't... Never mind.
No, the car's going to make
you'll learn when you're older.
The chicks will cream, dude. That's a promise.
It's crazy that was slang back.
That's a guarantee. 50s. The That's chicks will crave.
It's great to be like a used car salesman. Hey, tell you what, buddy. You want to buy this car? Don't worry. This is Grease Lightning. It goes so fast. And you know what?
Yeah.
This car, the chicks, they will
It's
crave.
A guaranteed chick creamer, buddy.
D. Nice.
I'll
get the paperwork right now.
What the hell was I saying?
Something about creaming.
Sandy! Why did I get...
Sandy!
That's right. Garfield, John Arbuckle, will be sad. And I can imagine Vic coming up and being like, John needs you more than me.
Yeah.
Because keep the glasses on.
Because of that bit of, at the start, that's where I adopted John kind of stuff. Yeah. Or maybe it's going to be something like, and that's the story of how I adopted John, and then it's going to be whatever. The stuff to do with his dad, things go like the hijinks, and maybe another point where it's just like the dad, as in Dad Garfield, has a moment where he has to choose between his safety and Garfield's safety.
Yeah.
And Dad chooses Dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, once again, he's
abandoned. That's my guess, yeah.
And
I don't
once
think
again,
it's going to be.
Piece of shit abandons Garfield.
I don't think we're going to have the twist. I think it's just going to be straight. He owes money to the mob or whatever. He needs to run.
Yeah.
I genuinely think, I think so little of this movie that I genuinely believe there is no reason for Garfield to be there. Daddy Garfield's just going to be like, time to hit the road, Gar son.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then, there'll be a moment where it'll be like, well, I it's you or me, and I'm picking me.
I'm picking numero uno.
And then
it's at the very end, it's kind of like, and that's when, I realize that actually John adopted me. Kind of thing. And it's like, it's a nice little mirror. Mm.
So you're not, well, that's interesting, Adam. You're not excited for this movie?
I like their older stuff.
Okay.
Before the Garfield redesign, before they slimmed him down.
Because you're a big Garfield guy. Like, we can't understate it.
Yeah. I am. Some might describe me as a real Garfield maniac. _185 185. Because there apparently was already taken. Yeah.
There's a lot of Garfield maniacs out there. When did your love affair with Garfield start?
Year 7. So I would have been 13.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I...
Feels like a late bloomer in the Garfield fields. I don't know.
What would you say is a normal age?
My first introduction to Garfield was staying at my friend Jamie's house.
Yeah.
And he had a Garfield in his bedroom. And I just spent the whole night just reading it and laughing, dude.
Right.
Because Garfield was funny.
He loved lasagna.
He loved lasagna.
His mouth's so big.
Fucking hates
Odie. Well, I guess then what I... I was aware of Garfield before then. Mm. But in year 7, at the age of 13, was when I began reading from the beginning to the end of the comic at the current time and then starting again.
That's awesome.
Because they were all online and the library did not block access to Garfield.com.
Fair enough.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think I had a Garfield book at some point, but again, it's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it was like a hand-me-down or like my brothers had it, I read it. But yeah, Garfield, unfortunately, I am not a Garfield maniac.
That's fair.
It did not play a huge part in my...
Were you a foot rot flats kind of guy?
I did lie. I mean, yeah, but then I would only
it's
ever
Australian
read...
Australian or New Zealand Garfield, really.
I would only ever read foot... I can't even say the word, but I can only ever read that when a cousin's house, and they had it.
I think it was an uncle for me.
Mm.
I read a lot of Archie comics as a kid. I was a real Archie head.
Oh, yeah.
When Betty and Veronica were fighting over Archie's ginger penis, I was going
crazy.
Can I
make a guess?
There. Yeah.
Like Archie, Tintin? Did you read any Tintin?
I loved Tintin. I had all the Tintins, I had all the Garfields, but that was it. I didn't do anything else.
What's his name? Obelisk and...
Asterix and Obelisk?
Yeah.
I read a lot of Asterix and Obelisk.
Never read a one.
Yeah, I
read a lot.
Yeah.
They drank that magic potion, made him invincible. one point they kill Julius Caesar, maybe?
What?
I think they do.
They kill our guy? They our original Italian pleasure.
The OG. I think Asterix, they certainly OG have a run-in with him, dude. They have a run-in with him.
Brutus, this is violence.
that's a Italian reference.
Yeah. you need to be Italian at the stand.
Yeah, you really have to be there.
You got to be an Italian old head to get it.
Yeah. So there are many Garfield side characters.
Yes.
Now,
that are not in this movie.
Well, do we see the spider?
Yes, the spider, but I notice not a...
No normal.
No normal.
Did we like normal? Did we hate
I
normal?
Like normal.
I like normal.
Yeah, normal's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I got a lot of time for normal. Garfield's a real cunt to him, but I like normal.
Oh, yeah, Garfield hates him because he's young.
Yeah.
But, curiously, So, normal is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Garfield hates normal because he's... he or she.
I'm not sure. I've never really been quite clear with Normal.
I don't know if Normal... Yeah. Anyway, it's not. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. neither here nor there. But anyway,
yeah.
Normal is always portrayed to be very young. But then in a later comic, we find out that Normal is in fact lying.
What the fuck?
About how old they are.
How old is Normal?
We don't know. All we know is old enough to drive.
Normal's
because they have a driver's license.
Is that so?
Is Normal equivalent to like the Scrappy-Doo of the Garfield fandom?
I don't think so.
I would have to say so.
Because Scrappy-Doo was loathed.
Mm.
Rightfully so.
Mm.
But Normal is sort of the butt of the joke, whereas Scrappy-Doo was just an annoying little guy.
Normal, see, it kind of can go either way. A comic with Normal could end at Normal's expense, or it could end at Garfield's expense.
Okay,
they sometimes have that.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like, you know, Garfield just being too mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always annoyed me that Odie couldn't talk.
Mm.
That pissed me off as a kid.
Yeah, I liked Odie.
I like Odie too, but I'm like, why has he got no inner monologue?
The cat's
stupid.
Interestingly, maybe he's just dumb as fuck.
It's a consistent portrayal up until this movie
that
dogs don't talk, but cats do.
I see.
Dogs don't get a voice.
Yeah, okay.
And it is sometimes alluded that it's because Garfield doesn't speak dog.
Okay.
But Odie is often portrayed as being just an idiot, so maybe...
But I do also remember Garfield comics where the punchline is that Odie's a little cleverer than people give him credit for.
Yes, yes.
That he's actually sort of not obfuscating. Yeah, like,
he does a little muttly, like...
Because he's kicked Garfield off the table, as opposed to the alternative. What about Garfield's girlfriend?
Arlene.
Yeah. Do you reckon she'll make an appearance?
No, well, not in the...
You checked the cast
list? Yeah, I checked the cast.
That's okay. You're allowed to do that.
She doesn't appear on the cast of characters, which I think is interesting. So that would mean, I'm guessing, no love interest for Garfield, but Liz the Doctor is, so I'm guessing...
So we get a love interest for John Arbuckle.
Yeah.
Interesting. Will he drink dog cum in this movie?
Oh, we can only hope. Truly, we can only hope.
I had a bet with myself internally to be like, I wonder how long it's going to take Jackson to bring that up. And I was like, if we go the whole episode, I'm going to buy him a Coke when this thing finishes. And I'm going to hand
free Coke.
I'm going to hand it to him without saying anything. But motherfucker, I lost a Coke. So,
that's so annoying. It was actually worth it to say dog cum.
That's
its own pleasure.
I would be quite surprised if they, because that well... It's too well known.
It's too well known
a bit. I can't imagine they'd even reference it because while I'm guessing the target demographic for this movie, I'm guessing the target demographic is infants too old to really understand. They're just moving colors and shapes
to entertain
them while mom and dad are I don't even know what.
Fucking in the car.
Enjoying some Italian pleasures.
Yes. Enjoying an Italian pleasure of their own. Yeah.
What did he say? He said anal.
I think you'll find yes.
Yeah.
Anal and sounding. We claim those.
Well, that's interesting because this movie to me, and we've spoken about this on Basis of Speculation before, is the kind of movie where it's actually hard to tell who it's aimed at.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it is aimed at children. This is a kids movie, and this is a kids ask kids movie.
Oh yeah. They use the same kind of like, you know, like the Despicable Me kind of like, hey, here's a song, here's the words on it. Come up.
Yeah, we watched the music video. Whatever. It was part of our
yeah.
But also, obviously, no kid gives a fuck about Garfield.
No.
Kids don't care about Garfield. Kids care about Skibbity Toilet. Streamers, you know?
A certain level of, like, kids, sure. Yeah. But again, if we're looking at, like, yes, the infant, the six.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, what's modern Garfield?
Minions.
Minions, I reckon, is even.
Oh, God, yeah.
It'd be, like, Coco Melon. Kids love that shit.
I don't know. Because to say modern day Garfield is very difficult because Garfield originally was printed in the newspaper.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no equivalent of that.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. BEEF. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
The original Garfield audience is people riding the train to work.
Yeah. But I think if you grew up with childish. Garfield, you're probably in your like 40s and 50s now.
Yeah.
If not older.
It's like similar to like, you know, a little bit younger than who grew up with the Peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Modern day Garfield is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, my friend.
Probably. It would probably be something like that.
Yeah.
I think older.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like slightly older.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe. It'd be when did Garfield? It was like in the 80s, right?
Oh,
I think it started in the 70s. 70s?
The 80s, I would argue, like, your Transformers, your G.I. Joes, your Ghostbusters kind of stuff. That's the kind of, you know, the people who, like, watched it as a kid, that's how they, you know, that's what the
1976.
Whereas, a bit older than that.
Yeah,
so a bit
absolutely.
Older than the people who would love a Transformers.
Film. Yeah.
Like, is Garfield older than color TV?
I don't think so. Not quite.
No, I think 50s, right?
I have no idea.
Ugh.
I just don't know.
50s or 60s.
Anyway.
But I don't know what a kid today, what the equivalent of a Garfield comic would be. Would it be fucking memes?
Maybe.
Probably.
Well, yeah. Like it's
Wojak.
A modern day, if you wanted to make the true.
I'm just doing Wojaks for the camera.
Hang on, wait. You do the pointing and I'll do the pointing back.
Okay. Ooh, it was a little Wojak for the viewers at home.
That's good, yeah. what was I saying? Yeah, a modern-day Garfield doesn't really exist because I think a modern-day Garfield would be a supercut of Vines. That's a modern-day Garfield.
Absolutely.
IMO.
I don't think we have a cultural equivalent,
really.
We just
don't really have the same level of like kind of almost that monoculture, right?
Yeah.
Well, that same thing that just can, you know, for some reason this one thing just goes through everybody in a certain similar culture. Mm. We just, everything is so split and everything like that.
Yeah, I think actually I agree because I think evidence of that is how many different things we've said are the modern day Garfield.
I think is
an indication of how diverse culture is now.
Yeah, it's just like, so I'm thinking like Minions, right?
Yeah.
In terms of this kind of thing that's aimed at kids and it's a little bit like silly and that kind of stuff and you can but basically the weird thing have about to have toys. You got to have toys.
When did the Minions first come out? Can you look but that up on your little machine? Yeah. Because Despicable Me 1 is an old movie at this point. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like that is.
Oh wait, am I looking up the Minions or Despicable Me 1?
Despicable Me 1. Because that's an old movie at this point. And then Minions also.
I was like wondering if
2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you grew up with the Minions, you could be. Well, you know.
I was like, if you grew up with, like, you know, you were at the, like, the sort of a certain age to watch, like,
the Minions.
The Minions, you could be having a kid by now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I don't even know if that really. Like, I think we're all in our 30s. I think we don't know what the equivalent
I'm closer to 40.
Spoilers! I don't think we know what the. There is a Garfield out there for Gen Alpha.
Oh, Bluey. Yeah.
Bluey. Bluey is probably the closest to Garfield we have.
I don't know.
Bluey
still,
or that, that conservative one that didn't do well.
Chip Chiller?
Maybe. Yeah.
That.
Bro, chinchillas are a meme animal. They're a fucking meme. Sure. You don't really like chinchillas. Yeah. Okay? I'm not into it.
If we may take a diversion down the path to talk about chinchillas for a second.
Man, I wish Dusher asked if we could take a diversion.
That would be nice.
Dusher never politely makes the request.
I know.
All of a sudden we're down the diversion path.
Exactly. Someone, I don't know, in this room will be and just mention Andy Dufresne and that's us gone. This polite motherfucker with his guff.
We would have never gone to Mordecai Town if Dusher had said, do you mind if we take a little detour into a diversion? And we could have said, no, keep talking about Beetlejuice, actually. And he was, never mind.
Unfortunately, I think you'll find, Jackson, that Mordecai was me and you.
Oh, no. If only we'd said.
If only.
Might we have a diversion, please?
My lord. Yes.
Please.
May I divert?
One diversion.
One moment. Could I have a crumb of diversion?
May I have, please, an Italian fancy? It's a non-sexual Italian pleasure.
That is true.
And Italian fancy is you. It might still be pasta, but it's not pasta. You're going,
Oh, is it fancier pasta?
No, it's just non-sexual. There's no sexual implication to it whatsoever.
But in a pasta where you go, there is sexual implication.
I feel like a lot.
Sometimes. What were you going to say? I allow your diversion.
What was I going to say? It's a good. Chinchillas. Yes. So, I walk into the city of a Saturday because I have a D&D game in the city and it's fun to walk.
Nice.
Anyway, I have noticed that because I have to be there at a certain time, so I'm pretty much like clockwork walking into the city at a certain time, and there is pretty much like clockwork a man who bikes out of the city that I pass almost like within 100 meters, I want to say, of one spot.
Yeah.
We keep passing each other. And he, in the front part of his bike, has a little box. And the box has, what's it called? It's something like Chinchilla Appreciation Society. And then a little subheading that's like, bet you don't see this every day. And he has, I want to say, 4 chinchillas in that little basket. And it is the cutest thing that I get to see on
that's a crime. You're not allowed to have chinchilla. That's not an Australian animal. You can't legally own a chinchilla in Australia.
Oh,
every day, every Saturday, you
walk. Chihuahuas. Oh, no. Chihuahuas, sorry.
I wish we'd never taken this diversion.
I'm dizzy.
Fuck.
Oh, my word, I'm dizzy.
God. I put my glasses on backwards.
Sorry, I got chinchillas and chihuahuas mixed up for a sec. I'm so sorry.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
A Garfield movie is a very weird thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like bizarre. It's like a lot of movies these days where it's an IP that's known, so we'll make the movie.
Can I link this back to once again, a generational problem and like a systemic problem with, say, a certain level of generation not retiring and so that they are in charge of certain things and so that they try to remember the things that they liked when they were growing up, when they were a kid, and so they're the ones with the money and they're the ones with the kind of like the people you got to approve and have to kind of like suck up to, and they don't give a shit about, you know, Skibbity Toilet or a Twitch streamer.
Skibbity what?
I don't know, man.
Make another Garfield.
Exactly.
Garfield was good.
I like it. Who doesn't like Garfield?
Everyone loves Odie.
It's the same reason why I brought up, you know, in the other episode, but Peabody and Sherman, because that's clearly a fucking...
No one cares
like
about that.
76-year-old exec being like, I really like that Peabody. He's very funny.
You know what I like? When they go back in time and don't talk about the civil rights movement.
Yes,
I also wonder if it's
getting back in time when things were better. Why don't you do that again? Who's writing good movies? This is Mel Brooks. He was a bit progressive back when I was
a white man. I quite enjoyed the turn of the 20th century.
I also wonder if these are cheaper IPs too.
Probably.
Like if you're pitching to an exec and you're like, Garfield doesn't cost as much. It's a known brand.
You reckon? Actually, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I feel like...
The owner would be Jim Davis. So you're like, hey, Jim, what else are you doing? Jim, all he has to do is sign off the rights to the Garfield movie. Also, I think...
Actually, you know what? You are absolutely right. I reckon, at the very least, Garfield specifically is very cheap because they had that Garfield Uber Eats thing.
Oh, yeah, Garfield Eats.
Yeah, Garfield
with,
Eats.
With, fucking, what's his name? Garfield.
And surely we can buy Garfield rights.
Nathfield. You don't know about Nathfield?
I didn't
know
the name.
Bro, this is fucking awesome. Okay. Let's go on a little journey.
Ask for the diversion.
Would you allow one meager diversion?
I would love a little
meager
diversion.
That's okay, yeah.
Okay, so a man whose name is Nathan, whose surname I cannot recall, he acquired the rights to Garfield branding, and he opened a store called Garfield Eats. Now, Garfield Eats was a Garfield-themed restaurant. It was not Uber Eats. I think you could probably Uber Eats it, and that might have been part of the app, but it was its own restaurant you could go to as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Garfield Eats provided you with Garfield-shaped pizzas and Garfaccinos, which, rumor has it, caused a lot of diarrhea.
What is a Garfaccino?
A very orange cappuccino.
Gotcha.
Eventually, the Garfield branding was taken away from this man, Nathan, and he released two extremely unsettling YouTube videos where he talks about it like he's if you watch, you could believe that after he recorded those YouTube videos where he talks about how he's not unhappy and he completely understands, if he went and killed someone directly afterward, you would be like, I am the least surprised I've ever been. They have the most dangerous energy.
Yeah.
Then he somehow acquired the Scooby-Doo branding. And he produced...
I didn't know about this.
Scooby Eats or something?
Oh.
Do Eats? I don't know. These were not a restaurant. These were prepackaged meals that you could heat up in a microwave. Then he lost the Scooby-Doo branding. And then he went insane. He started making a new character.
And then he went insane?
Yes. He also always wore an orange suit. And there was one point where somebody on like a red carpet wore an orange suit as part of a movie, and he was like, I'm going to sue that person because everybody knows I'm the orange suit guy.
Everyone knows.
Anyway,
everyone knows.
So after he lost the Scooby-Doo Eats thing, he went crazy and created Nathfield, which is his own Garfield OC. Then he started releasing a podcast about how Nathfield is going to bring salvation to the sinful earth that we live on. And the podcast is Nathfield and an angel having foul-mouthed discussions about the oncoming apocalypse.
This is very frustrating.
This man got Garfield branding, it went to his head, and then he went insane. Anyway, look up Nathfield.
Yeah.
If you can find those, if you can find those two YouTube videos, man, they are scary.
Okay. So, wow, what a pretty
thing. That's Nathfield.
Interesting.
Nathfield is really quite right-wing, unsurprisingly.
Shocking.
No.
Interesting. Buh? Interesting.
They should make a Nathfield movie.
Yeah.
That would at least be more concurrent.
How did he get the rights to both?
I don't know how he got Scooby-Doo after Garfield.
I guess it's just how not as well. Do you think Hanna-Barbera are really doing their background checks on that?
How much does it cost? I mean... How much does it cost?
I don't know.
Can we?
There's a behind-the-scenes documentary.
Can we get the rights to Scooby-Doo?
That would be awesome. Let's do it.
How much?
There's a behind-the-scenes documentary about the Garfield Eats restaurant, which is also extremely bizarre because it's clearly fake, right? Like, he's filming like a fake documentary about the running of it.
Yeah.
But the people in it are people really working at the Garfield Eats place who are clearly not actors. And he comes in and does like a bit, makes all these complaints and gets aggressive about the state of the restaurant where he's like, why aren't there any orange napkins? But like, you can tell there's an edge, like he might really snap. But it's also fake. Anyway, it's fascinating stuff. Look into it. Huh. It's worth your time to look into it.
Yeah.
What else are you doing?
Yeah, not much.
Do we think this movie will do well?
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think it'll do well. It's going to fizzle and die.
I think it'll make enough. Mm. I reckon it'll make enough money.
Enough for a sequel?
What? For a sequel, I don't know. But I mean...
Will it make its money?
That was a sequel to the Bill Murray one, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, there's Garfield sequel, and the Garfield A Tale of Two Kitties. Kitties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, have you heard the story of why Bill Murray did that?
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure it's unclear whether that's true or not.
Because that's so funny. Yeah. And it serves him right. Yeah, do your research.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray deserves one of these. Yeah.
Imagine you got in trouble for physically threatening Bill Murray on baseless speculation.
That is so funny. I think this show has done incitements to violence before. Why am I in trouble?
When?
Well, I feel like I've been.
I think
on
we said it's when. Okay to call it
no,
a bomb.
No.
Love of God. Anyway, I think this movie might make back its money, but that would be it, really.
Yeah. Depends how cheap this was, to be honest, and depends.
I don't think Chris Pratt would have cost a bit. Samuel L. Jackson too.
They got Snoop Dogg in there.
Snoop Dogg, dude.
What a funny bit in the trailer.
I think the trick is it's coming out during the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and families are gonna want to go to the movies.
Other kids' movies are out at the moment?
I'll check.
I think that many, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty low on the ground for kids' films.
To be honest, this is probably
it's not much competition. Yeah,
it's as Adam was saying, it is a good time to just take your kid there, put it down while you enjoy an Italian fancy or an Italian pleasure, depending what you're doing.
Yeah, hopefully, if you're in front of kids, an Italian fancy.
Yeah. You are the back taking Italian pleasure in the car.
Possible car children's movies. Challengers. If is also out right now, but it came out a little while ago.
If you're like a parent, are you going to really You got Ryan Reynolds, who you're like, he's a bit of a cussy mouth. I don't know, it's a big scary monsters. I don't want to take a risk on Johnny Baby to be like, hey, no, we're gonna go to Garfield.
Yeah.
The only current competition it has could, in my mind, could be either If or Kung Fu Panda 4. Both of them though came out or have already been out for like a week or more.
Mm. Plus, If has terrible energy. Like, the trailers for that movie, it feels like you're watching a crime.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got awful. And I think if I'm taking my kid to a kid's movie, I'm going to pick something animated.
Let me hit you with this, though. I was with my mom the other day, and we were just the TV was on in the background, and my mom paused the conversation that we were having to point at the TV as a trailer for If played, and she said, oh, I want to see that movie.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Maybe it's
she wants to take my two nephews, who are half and one and a half. Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe If passes the barrier of like, well, it is a bit live action, so it's like it's not like a kid's movie.
Yeah,
I can enjoy it, plus I like Ryan Reynolds' face.
He's a hottie. Yeah.
He's a hottie.
You know,
is it? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
That's the competition I see it having. But, yeah, like I said,
it might make its money. I don't think we're going to get a sequel.
Now that I think about it, if people are going to the cinemas.
Yeah.
And if people are doing, if you got young kids and that kind of stuff, because this isn't like, a PG or M or whatever.
No.
They, G's are pretty, general audience, they're a pretty safe bet, right? So, like. Yeah, it'll probably do
well. What is the rating?
Yeah.
It's got to be G in at least this country.
I'm sure. I'm curious.
Do you think when somebody pitches the Garfield movie? 15
plus.
Damn.
No,
Garfield's packing. Adult scenes?
Garfield's allowed
violence?
One F word. Where would you put the strategic F word?
I think I'd open with that. Garfield would wake up in the morning and he'd go, fuck!
Here's how I fucking adopted her.
It's like, it'd be like about to eat and he's like, fuck vegetables, give me that lasagna. Yeah.
I think he'd be like
a meme.
Maybe reference all the parents fucking in cars.
I can't see its rating. Yeah. Whatever. It's
probably
cheated. Yeah. Who cares?
I forget what I was gonna say.
Shut down.
You did shut down.
Yeah.
No expression on his face then. Just a quick blank. There's nothing but blank.
What the hell was I gonna say?
If you were in a theoretical world where you go to the Garfield movie, you sit down and you're like, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
What would it have to do?
I think that the trailer would have to have misrepresented the kind of humor.
Yeah.
Because I think something we haven't spoken about at all is the humor in this movie is really bad.
Yeah.
We did an episode on Transformers 1 recently, and it's almost worse. Because Transformers.
What were you guessing was going to happen in Transformers 1?
Go watch the episode.
That's a funny joke, because it's already out.
Is it?
Transformers 1?
The movie's called Transformers 1. Now you got egg in your mouth.
No, I don't.
The humor in this is, I think this is weird because Garfield comics are funny.
Yeah.
And I think translatable too. I remember even as an adult, there'll be like one funny Garfield for every 10 or 20. So I think that you could translate that to the screen.
Yeah.
I think it's just that this is gone for like actually a weirdly generic sense of humor.
Yep.
Instead of like a more Garfield.
Well, again, it just feels like, something you put on to entertain like a child who likes to see shapes and colours.
It's pretty colours, it's shapes.
It's very inoffensive. It's very bland. They've got the right guy.
He's only got the one fuck.
Yeah, they got that one.
Yeah.
So it'll be low impact on the kids.
You can fast forward.
You just got to anticipate it and go, ah! Try and cover up the swear.
Skip it 10 seconds.
But it would have to be a different sense of humor.
Yeah, 100%.
And then I could maybe get across the line, but the sense of humor doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. The emotional heart of the movie is not interesting. It's I mean, unless they go in a crazy direction with it, I don't really know what they could do. It just doesn't, who cares?
I'm like, the only time like I've actually been genuinely surprised by a film aimed at kids was like the first Lego movie.
Yeah.
Because of that third act. And it was just like
shit. Puss in Boots, the most recent one, really liked.
Yeah, the Puss in Boots was actually really good as well.
I can't remember what
kids
movies.
And that was like a good, I guess it wasn't really a twist because you could, I guess it was a twist.
The
reveal of all that and everything was happening. That was really good as well. And it was like a nice little emotional like thing. But to really just be like, oh, damn. It was like, yeah.
I said this in Transformers 1, but you can make a good kids movie.
Yeah.
And kids deserve interesting movies
that
obviously you're not trying to challenge your kid with some, highbrow shit, but you can make a movie that's going to impact a child.
It does.
And entertain them beyond just seeing colors and shapes. That's possible.
Mm.
Yeah, it does feel like a lot of children's movies have entered their era of the, those disturbing YouTube videos where it's really bad animatics.
Where it's like, Elsa's got an infected asshole and Spider-Man's... Spider-Man's doing surgery or something.
Elsa infected asshole Joker surgery Hulk is watching.
That's not far off from what some of them are like. They might not say asshole.
Yeah. They won't.
But
yeah,
it would be like, correct. Elsa needs surgery.
Yeah. Elsa infection. Spider-Man watches the Hulk is here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like as bad as the YouTube algorithm could be, I feel like filtering out asshole is possibly within its power. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think a lot of the kids' movies these days feel quite corporate. I think.
Yeah.
Corporate or like, if as a kid's movie feels just very strange, if has the vibe of like somebody's disturbed passion project and nearly threw up.
It's a combination of, the old guard that should have retired years ago, kind of like mandating like, yeah, we want this or that makes sense. Or like, or there's like, oh, I got a really cool like idea for an animated film about... so we're going to have like an animated animal and it's going to be about, like a found family type thing. They get abandoned and, and then it's going to be like, very much like this is the family that they want. Their dad comes back in the scene and it's going to be like, a bit of a heartfelt of like, oh, I want those family connections, but actually you abandoned me. And so it is for kids, but we're going to kind of deal with like, your abandonment issues in the frame of what we can with this sort of thing. And then you can kind of see how that goes to be like, okay, to then being like, but what if we have Garfield?
Yeah, you can imagine a phone call where it's like, hey, Zabit, it's your agent. Yeah, I've spoken to the executives. They want it to be Garfield.
Okay.
They're saying make the animal Garfield.
It's Mad Libs. And
that's it.
Yeah, it's Mad Libs, and then you insert the right nouns for the property that you're using.
Sorry to throw this so late in the game, but do we think anything about maybe Gar-Mum coming up?
Gar-Mum?
Maybe that's... are they going to be like, oh, we're going to try and find
Gar-Mum? That might be for a sequel.
Gar-Mum?
Yeah.
I reckon that's for a sequel.
I think it is actually quite telling, Zamit. I think you're right in that it doesn't feel like it was pitched initially as a Garfield movie because Vic is not a character.
No.
In Garfield?
No.
And it feels like this very strange thing to do to be like, we're going to add a whole new character.
There's a whole new cast. A lot of the characters, there are more new characters than old looking at the cast.
And like, I don't know, this is just like someone having their own like, original story or having their own like original idea had to be then filtered through Garfield. And they're like, well, I didn't have
these characters that would have fitted the Garfield like narrative. So can we just have some new ones
around?
Like, yeah, we can. All right, cool.
All right.
But then, you know, you see, again, we talk about like, well, what else are they going to make it? What else can they do? But then they made that, what, duck film?
The ducks go, yeah,
ducks
that's
go
true.
Flying? I don't know. And then we're like, did anyone see that? Are we just not?
I'm learning about this movie now.
Apparently it was quite fun, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's just like one of those things where it's just, look, this will find its audience. It'll make money.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder if we'd have appreciated it more if it had a kind of Ninja Turtles, Florence versus the Machines. That's not what it's called. you know, a sort of more stylized animation. Right.
I'm yeah.
Like, what do you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Another,
well,
another
yeah,
one.
I'm more interested. When we first booted it up to watch the trailers or whatever, I was pointing out that's like one of the three animation styles that
it's
you
kind
see.
Kind of
in
a bit boring,
movies.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just is that same, same. And I'm guessing that they do it because it's cheaper. They've got the models that they can kind of just quickly, what? I'm assuming.
Did you ever watch that? And this isn't a kids' movie, but did you ever watch that movie about Vincent van Gogh's life that was watercolors?
I think I've seen half of it for some reason.
It was a fully animated movie, but it's all watercolor
it's beautiful.
Pictures. Like watercolors. Yeah. No,
it's
no
like
effect.
A painted movie.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. It looks so beautiful. Mm. The movie itself is okay, but the presentation is amazing. Yeah. It's nice when things are nice. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, we deserve good content, you know? Christ.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some like, hey, there seems to be some care here. Or even like, and again, we are talking about a Garfield film, sure, but you can have that kind of like, you know, as I said, like, hey, Puss in Boots. It's actually really good. Yeah, heartfelt moment in that film. Yeah. I was like, this is actually surprising. The Lego film.
The Ninja Turtles
the
movie.
Ninja film.
That was fun. I had a great time during that film, you know?
And you kinda like,
we don't have to feed kids slop.
Yeah.
You know?
We already get enough of that.
Yeah.
In regular bullshit.
yeah, exactly. Swings for the fences. Let's do them.
Okay.
Huge call for this movie.
Yes.
Tied directly to you. What's your swing for the fence?
Let's see. Is did Jim Davis ever make any other particular...
Closest I can think is there was a period of time where Garfield lived on a farm in a cartoon. Because John grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And there was like a cartoon that had like pigs and shit.
Okay, I was wondering if there's like a Garfield cinematic universe bullshit crammed in.
So as part of the original TV series, there was a like companion show. Mm. So imagine a half hour block. Done. The first 15 minutes would be an episode of a Garfield show.
Yeah.
The end 15 minutes was something like Barnyard Blitz or something like that. And it was the animals on the barnyard, completely different cast, doing completely different stories.
I could see a reference there. Or I could see somehow Garfield meets drawn Garfield. See, 3D computer animated Garfield meets like an illustrated version of himself.
Right.
Swing with the fence from me is that we're going to get a reference to some of Chris Pratt's other popular roles, like Star-Lord and then End of List, Mario maybe, depending who owns what. But I reckon we're going to get a little bit of the other characters or the other actors in there, maybe a little bit of a reference to like, you know, Some for the mums and dads or grandparents who are taking their kids to see this.
That's the noise.
Grandpa's sick. Grandpa's fucked up at the cinema.
I'm making the noise I have to assume Leonardo DiCaprio's making when he's doing this.
Oh, he's pointing. Yeah.
He's having a stroke. That's what I'm thinking is happening.
I think you're right. I think there'll be a moment where Garfield, that we saw a scene in the trailer where he's dressed like a superhero. And he'll be like, maybe I call myself Star-Lord and Odie will do this to camera. Because that's what mine was quite sassy. Odie's will be. And I think that's going to happen a lot.
Like a rolling of the eyes. Yeah.
Kind of speaking of Odie, my swing for the fences is Odie speaks and has a full on, there'll be like a sit, there'll be a really at the height or the emotion of the movie. Gar Dad has abandoned Gar Son and Odie, who, because I
Gar
think
dog.
We see. Yeah, in the trailer, we see a little bit Gar Dad is like, oh, Odie, check my idiot son out.
Fuck this guy, Odie.
I reckon there's going to be a moment where Odie cashes in on that like relationship that they built, where he breaks character, talks to Gar Dad, and is like, you got to be a good father.
Yeah.
Like...
And that's the only speaking he does
like,
in the movie.
Like a silent Bob like chasing Amy.
Yeah.
I can also see them doing a thing.
What? You're chasing? Incredible suit. All right.
I can see them also doing a thing where Odie, Garfield's sad because his dad's left. And Odie makes noises in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And so Odie turns to Garfield and he's like, oh. But there's subtitles underneath.
Oh,
and he says a very moving speech to Garfield. Mm. And then Garfield's like, I can't understand the words you're saying, Odie. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop!
I do not see this as a swing for the fences, but I think guaranteed there's going to be a joke where Odie says like a bunch, either one of two, either Odie sense, like has a really long thing and someone's like, yeah, that is funny or something like that. Or it's, you know, like condenses it down to like, oh yeah, Odie wants the sandwich or there's some joke there. Mm. Or Odie says something and it's not a joke. It's just Odie is talking and then someone keeps being like, yeah, you're right. And then repeats what Odie said so we know what Odie is saying.
Yeah.
Guaranteed one of those two things happens.
In the app, Joel Dush is not here, obviously. So I will do his classic swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
Garfield will die.
Or actually, I think Garfield will go into real.
Yeah. Either Garfield dies or goes into real. Mm. I got to do them for my boy Joel Dusha.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad that Dusha died in that tragic accident.
He had too many Italian pleasures. Yeah.
Too many Italian pleasures.
There is a limit.
Not good for the heart.
There is a limit.
You'd be shocked to find.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked to find.
You can't have
not
too
good
many.
For the heart.
I mean, Julius Caesar found out.
Yeah. Yeah, he really.
Bruce, this is violence.
Well, on that note,
I've been Joe.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Adam.
And this has been another episode of Best Speculation, and we have been the BS Boys.
Adam, where can we find you?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Okay.
But no, seriously, I host the Dungeons & Dragons show, D&D is for Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a sometimes, often host on Beyond the Map, our more spooky horror anthology show, which you also
I'm also on and host sometimes. Mm-hmm. We are also on D&D is for Nerds. If you want to hear us, be guys.
Yeah. He's our dungeon boy.
I am the dungeon boy.
Yeah.
Check it out.